It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. I'm Lonnie Poindexter, and I have the great pleasure and honor of sitting in for Sandy this morning, and it's a real treat for me. And so if you recognize a different voice, that's why. She does not have laryngitis. And today we're just going to talk about, well, what Sandy always talks about is speaking truth and speaking truth to power. Before we get underway with the broadcast, let me just give you a number to call in if you happen to have any questions. 888-589, and that's 8840. That's 888-589-8840. Call in. We'll get you right onto the broadcast, okay? We're going to jump into a couple topics today, but I want to know what's near and dear in your heart. Again, that number is 888-589-8840. Well, there's certainly a lot of news going on today, ladies and gentlemen. First thing I kind of want to talk about is, I'm here in our nation's capital, which is where I'm based as well. The Trump Hotel was vandalized the other day, and where someone took a can of spray paint and across the front of the hotel plastered a "No Justice, No Peace" and "Black Lives Matter" across a iconic hotel. And let me tell you a little bit about the hotel. I mean, the significance is not that it's a Trump International Hotel, but that the hotel is a historic landmark. So it belongs, or the history of it, it belongs to us, the people. It was the original location for the post office. It's a beautiful, beautiful building located right on Pennsylvania Avenue, right at about, I believe it's 11th in Pennsylvania. So it's just down the street from the White House, one direction, and about 10 blocks from the Capitol building. And, well, let me just put this out there. There's a narrative going out there of open season on young black males by the police department. Well, the data does not support that. And I know you listeners out there across America today know this because you're learned, because Sandy keeps you apprised of what's going on, and you are a learned group. But it's designed to, these types of false narratives is just to drive a position to motivate and move who I call the passionately misinformed, those who would get emotional about an issue that has no merit. And so first of all, I was just appalled the fact that, if those young people, whoever it is, and I'm assuming maybe it's someone associated with Black Lives Matter, or maybe it's someone who is pretending to be a part of Black Lives Matter, who knows? But the fact they would deface a iconic building that belonged to the people of the United States of America really to me speaks to the misinformation that's out there. So what it calls upon us, Bible-thumping, God-loving, church-going folk to do is to stand up and speak up on this. I want to know what you think about Black Lives Matter. What's your take on it? Give me a call, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'll get you queued up to come right onto the air. I just was, I actually visited that hotel, right? It's had the soft opening about a week and a half ago. And I had the pleasure of going inside and seeing it's a beautiful, beautiful facility. They did a stellar job in repurposing that iconic building to make it a world-class hotel. It's something that we, the American people, should be very proud of, and have to give kudos to the Trump team of construction and so forth. They worked on this, I believe, for about 2 years, and they finished a year early. And so the time, I think, was kind of interesting in that here we have Mr. Trump being the candidate that vetted in this election season. I don't think anybody saw that coming. And against one named Hillary Rodham Clinton on the Democrat side of the House. And now he's got a hotel that's finished, too. I just thought that was very interesting. But beautiful building. If you have not seen it, you get to our nation's capital. Be sure you visit the Trump International Hotel. I'm not giving... This is not an advertisement for Donald Trump, okay? This is just talking about a facility that should be near and dear to us concerning the history of our great nation, okay? Well, looks like we've got a caller. We've got Jane. Is that Jane from Virginia? Welcome to the show.
Hi there.
How are you? Thanks for calling in.
I'm fine. Listen, I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to what you were talking about because there's something I wanted to ask people to do, and that is there's a particular group of people who are not registered to vote. I live in Virginia, and it's kind of like critical in Virginia that everybody get out and vote because we've got Northern Virginians, a million of them, voting for Democrats. So people really need to understand that we have to save ourselves. No, the Republican committees are not going to help us. They're not going to get out the vote. We have to do it. Here's the demographic that's not voting. It's white people. I'm sorry to be racial, but it's that's how it is. White people with either a high school diploma or no, you know, they didn't graduate, they dropped out. Those people are discouraged. They're not voting. And we have to go out where convenience stores, like gas stations, people like loading the bread in the grocery stores. Those are the people we have to talk to and just go up to them and just be like, you know, people that you feel safe, but whatever. But you just go up and you ask, say, are you registered? The vote's coming, you know, pretty soon. And you'll, 9 times out of 10, you'll find out they're not registered or they're going to vote for independence. We have to kind of nicely, but be a little persistent. You have to have, like, voter registration forms on you, or if you have a smartphone, you could register that person right there. But if they're in a grocery store working, they're not going to have time to give you all their information.
Jane, let me ask you a question, Jane. Why do you think they're not voting or participating?
Oh, they're discouraged. They're just so some people have never registered and never voted.
Yes.
They just feel that they're not part of the American dream, that they're just getting by. They really don't have any money. They have little opportunities because they just, you know, dropped out or whatever. And or have high school diploma that doesn't get you very far in this society anymore.
Yes.
But, those are the people that are so discouraged, and I've talked to them and it's like, what do you mean you've never voted? We're losing our country. This is a problem. But in swing states like mine, you understand, people have got to, we've got to go out to these people. And, you know, just try to, you know, without being coming on too strong, but we've got to be bold and go up to complete strangers and do this. And if we do not, we're going to lose our country.
I agree with you. The church has to stand up and participate. We can't sit on the sidelines anymore and hope that somebody else takes care of it. I want to thank you so much for calling in. We've got another caller, so I need to move on. I've got Tom from Texas. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Good to have you in for Sandy this morning. I'm wondering in what she said. Last Tuesday, I was very excited about the debate that was coming off, and I was out of town and staying the night with one of our coworkers, and we were in a hotel, and he wanted to watch football.
Mm-hmm.
And so I moved down to the bottom floor of the hotel, and we watched the debate down at the bottom floor. But he said, "What difference is it going to make in my life? What difference is this going to make in my life?" And, oh, I started telling him all the differences it would make in his life, and it still didn't ring. It rang hollow, you know, that what this election means to our country.
Yes.
This, I'll tell you, I'd like to ask those Black Lives Matter, I'd like to stand all them boys up that defaced the hotel on Pennsylvania Avenue and ask them this morning when I'm going to work, my alarm went off at 6:15, and I'm on my way in right now. What are they doing right now?
Mm-hmm.
They're probably asleep in bed, waiting on their next welfare check to get there, or waiting to steal from someone to pawn it somewhere. We got to stop this nonsense in America, and we need to back our police department. We need to really back our law enforcement people.
I agree with you. I would say it's probably not welfare checks are getting. They're getting paychecks from George Soros. George Soros and his cronies are financially backing the Black Lives Matter movement. It's not a grassroots movement built upon some core issues in America. It's an agenda to divide America. I want to thank you so much, Tom, for calling into the show. Got to move on. Got another caller. I've got Toby from Arkansas. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. I'm just going to agree with what you just said. Black Lives Matter does not speak for the majority of the black people in America. They are indeed funded by George Soros. A great number of the people that were arrested in the Charlotte riots recently were from out of town, funded by George Soros. In fact, George Soros just spent $196 million to lobby for the turnover of the Internet over to ICANN, the United Nations, and we will see in the future just what that is going to come to mean to us. I personally believe that we should put out arrest warrants against George Soros for conspiracy to undermine the government of the United States. Remains to be seen if that will happen. But hey, by the way, Happy New Year. We're entering the Jewish New Year 5777.
Prepare
for God to move in great and miraculous ways in the days ahead.
Ooh, powerful statement, brother. You're preaching there. That's exactly what needs to be done. We need to arrest George Soros. Problem is we couldn't get them to arrest Hillary Clinton nor anyone else if the DA's office will not prosecute. I mean, what can we do? I've got to move on to another caller. Thank you so much, Toby. I've got Catherine from Texas. Welcome to the show.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. And yes, Happy New Year. You know, it's so sad, this Black Lives Matter. If they want them to matter, themselves to matter so much, why don't they show respect for themselves?
Yes. That is so very true.
They're just causing people to not have any respect for them. There are many black people that I had rather trust with them being in my home and me not being here than some white people. So there are many black people that their lives matter very much, but they have this has to stop this destruction.
You know, Catherine, and what needs to take place is the information is out there about if you look at the statistics from the federal government and studies done by Harvard University and other institutions. Prager University has an excellent 5-minute clip that talks about this. It's a false narrative. It's what it's designed to do is stir up passionately misinformed people so that those people go out and be divisive, like defacing, you know, government buildings and disrupting people's lives and blocking freeways as a form of protest. And it's not protest at all. It's anarchy is what it is. But when you have a dumbed down populist that doesn't even understand what Dr. Martin Luther King truly stood for, and they think they're protesting the way that he did, that's certainly not what took place. I want to thank you for calling in, Catherine. Got to move on. I've got David from Virginia. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Bye. Bye. Thank you. Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. And, Black Lives Matter has nothing to do with black lives.
I agree.
We know, as born-again Christians, that all lives matter. Every single life is of immeasurable worth. And if you look at what's going on, this is what the left always does, Lonnie. It always does this. This year alone in the city of Chicago, over 4,000 black people have been shot by black people.
Yes.
But their lives don't matter to the left. You never hear about it. Those lives apparently don't matter. The only black lives that matter to the left are those four people who started this thing who were killed by white police officers.
That is so very true. David, let me jump in. We've got a cue for a break. Thank you so much for calling in. This is Sandy Rios in the morning and Lonnie Poindexter sitting in for her.
One of the more emotional times on our tour of Israel is when we go to the house of Caiaphas.
This is where Jesus Christ was held the night before his appearance before Pilate. And we see the dungeon where he was held. And it's just a very striking thing to be there knowing our Lord suffered in this way and was treated in this way. That's one of the places we'll visit is the house of Caiaphas, where the trial took place as well. Well, for more information on our tour of Israel and all the places we'll see and all the places we'll go, it's going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country. Our phone number is 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5 for more information. Or if you want to go on the internet, twholyland.com. Go to the website, twholyland.com. Come see the land of the Bible with us in March.
Truth Be Told with Nate Kellum, Chief Counsel at the Center for Religious Expression.
CRE recently filed a federal lawsuit against Abilene, Texas, for banning the amplification of the gospel message in a public right-of-way. Dan Ruchinski likes to use a small personal amplifier to share his biblical message of repentance and forgiveness in Abilene. He does not yell at people. He just wants to be heard, conversing in a normal voice while standing next to a loud highway. Yet police have issued him a criminal citation for using an amplifier within the city limits, depicting his speech as being an annoyance. Abilene's ban is unconstitutional. The First Amendment defends not just the right to speak, but equally as important, the right to be heard.
Truth Be Told from the Center for Religious Expression, clearing the path for truth. Hear more at CRELaw.org, CRELaw.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and Commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. Let's say your 10th grader forgets his lunch, so he gives you a call at work and asks if you can bring it to school. What would you do? Some parents would drop everything and take care of their youngster. But that kind of behavior is not allowed at Catholic High School for Boys in Little Rock, Arkansas. The school prides itself on teaching reading, writing, arithmetic, and problem solving. There's a big sign on the front door alerting parents to a very important rule. Parents are told to turn around and leave if they're showing up to deliver a forgotten item, like homework. The sign was also posted on the school's Facebook page and has since gone viral. Parents from coast to coast are praising the Catholics for teaching boys about self-reliance. It's a lesson that sadly seems to be lost in public schools where children are coddled. For more on this story and to see the sign, check out ToddStearns.com.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at Sandy@AFR.net. That's Sandy@AFR.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. I'm sitting in for Sandy. This is Lonnie Poindexter, and having a great time. I want to thank the callers who called in prior to the break. And David, thank you so much for your contribution. We've now got Mike from Virginia. Welcome to the show. Can you hear me okay?
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Outstanding. Good, good, good. So all I want to say is that it seems to me that Black Lives Matter is basically a very hypocritical gaggle of folk. As if it really mattered, you all know that they have the highest abortion rate and the highest murder rate amongst themselves. Yes. Obviously, I'm not black, but nonetheless, those are the facts. So don't those matter? Maybe they should get out there and discuss that with their own folks.
Man, you hit the nail on the head. Those are the two great big stinky elephants in the room that they don't talk about. In fact, let me give you an example of that, Mike. In Washington, D.C., there's the Smithsonian Museums, and there's several museums all over downtown in our capital and the National Mall. Well, one is called the Hall of Portraiture, and it's right off of Let's see, it would be on 7th and I believe it in E or F Street. Chinatown's right next door. A few months back, there was a great big Black Lives Matter rally right there in Chinatown, about a half block from the Hall of Portraiture. And I tell you, they had, I don't know, 400 or 500 folks came out and they were protesting and doing all what they do. I watched the whole thing take place. Now, here's what's ironic. They had to march past the Smithsonian Museum to go to that intersection in Chinatown. Now, what's in the Smithsonian Museum that apparently they're not aware of, but I'm very much aware of, is a bronze bust in the Civil Rights exhibit right adjacent to the Dr. Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy exhibits, all those iconic figures from the 60s. In the Civil Rights era, is a bronze bust of Margaret Sanger, who is the mother of Planned Parenthood. So over 20 million African Americans have been done away with in their mother's womb since Roe v. Wade. And they march right past that, I don't want to call it iconic, but that bust in that museum. As if you really want to raise a ruckus, as Sheriff David A. Clark said, march up to an abortion clinic and protest in front of that. Thank you so much for calling in, Mike. We've got to move on. Nolan from Virginia, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
I sure can. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, in my car. I just want to say that I do not agree with Black Lives Matter, but it does highlight the issue that we have not really done well. Not think everybody think we're holding hands singing Kumbaya. We've not really done well with addressing the issue of race in this country, just from even some of the comments that I've heard from some of the callers. Now, the issue is because I live in Virginia as well, and I don't mind people saying the 4,000 things in Chicago. I agree. Abortion, I totally agree. But we're telling, you're saying to African-Americans or blacks, whatever term you want to use to own your stuff, but I don't see, on the other hand, I don't see in the city that I live in the majority of the white people owning their stuff, because racism does exist. And anytime I have to drive down the street with monuments to Confederate generals every day, the tallest monument in the city is to the Sons of the Confederacy. And we just had a school here that was named after a racist that they wanted to rename, and they actually did rename it, but with such a ruckus over it. So there's still some issues that still need to be addressed. I do not agree with Black Lives Matter, you know, killing black cops and all this stuff, but it does highlight that we still have some ways to go in this country.
Okay, let me ask you a question concerning that, Nolan. So it highlights in what way that there's racism. Okay, well, yeah, there's sin, and racism is basically just sin. There's sin in the world, and we have to deal with it. But what Black Lives Matter tries to speak to, just in my humble opinion, is tries to state that racism is systemic in America, as to you can't get where you want to go and do what you want to do because there's racism. Now, I would point out that we have a president that was duly elected not once, but twice by a preponderance of Americans who don't look like him. Now, he's biracial, but we call him black. And white Americans put Barack Obama in office twice. Blacks only represent 12.5 to 13% of the population, so there's not enough black folks to get him elected. I would say we've moved on. Are there things we maybe need to deal with? But I would submit that the issues today about dividing us as a nation are built around a false premise. It's not open season on young black males being done away with police departments. That's not what's going on. The data does not show that. We've got, what, over 500 homicides in Chicago this year alone, and yet you don't see one protest in Chicago concerning that. So it's, in my humble opinion, it's deriving a narrative that is not factual and not true. I've got to let you go. Thank you so much, Nolan. I've got Stephen from North Carolina. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Mr. Poindexter. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing just fine.
Hey, the reason that the problem is not that black lives don't matter. The problem is that black fathers don't matter, and nobody is addressing the problem of the fatherlessness within the black community. Ever since Norman Spell got rid of James Evans off of Good Times, they've gotten rid of the strong black father. And that is a problem in this country. That's where a lot of this stuff stems from and can be traced back to.
Man, that's a powerful statement. I am very aware of the data that speaks to that. Let me just give you an example of what you just so eloquently illustrated. In Southeast Washington, D.C., which is just right across the river from the White House, and it's called Anacostia is the area, 89.6%, this is a stats from 2 years ago, of black households are single parent, typically female head of household. That's 89.6. Now that number is probably over 90% because that's stats from 2 years ago. And it was done by Family Research Council, the Mari Institute there, that does exhaustive studies on what's taking place from a family standpoint across America, across all ethnic groups. Now, if we could back up to the 1960s that you talked about, or you talk about even during the good times here of the 1970s, prior to the implementation of the entitlement programs, right after the civil rights programs were signed, or the civil rights legislature that was signed in the voting rights, black families were 70+% two-parent, typical male head of household. So even when we were fighting for first-class citizenship as black Americans, our families were still intact. Yet today, when we have unprecedented opportunity, our families have imploded. And that is the core issue taking place across our nation and urban communities across the nation. I want to thank you so much for calling in, Stephen. Got to move on. I've got Chris from Arkansas. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey, how are you doing, sir?
All righty. Go ahead.
Okay, I kind of wanted to pick your brain and get your opinion on what your first caller of the day said.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly about Black Lives Matter, but more so about getting voters registered and how she said that we need to get out and motivate white voters, high school graduates. Because I personally, I'm an African-American male, and I feel like that's playing into the narrative of division and stereotyping. So if someone, I feel like 9 times out of 10, if someone with that thought process were to be out registering voters and trying to get people registered, she would bypass someone like me under the assumption that if she tries to get me registered, I'm probably going to vote Democrat or it's going to be a vote for Hillary. And I feel like that's a negative approach. And I was wondering, and I do realize that her views come from, you know, data and statistic analysis of how voters usually vote, but I feel like it plays into division personally as an African-American male. And I feel like I would be bypassed. And I don't appreciate that. And I was just wondering what your thoughts were.
Well, actually, when you think about it and you raise a valid point, at the end of the day, everyone should be registered to vote. There needs to be a voter drive to get all Americans involved. And let me get real specific when I mean all Americans. Certainly all Christian Americans, because this battle that we're fighting is a God versus anti-God battle of epic proportions. And so if I can pull up the stats, I don't have them directly in front of me. So let me go from my middle-aged memory. In the last presidential election, approximately 30 million evangelical Christians went fishing on election day. About 30 million, depending on who you talk to, it's either more or less. So the average, let's say, is 30 million. So that's 30 million Bible-thumping, God-believing Christians decided that they didn't like either candidate, so they went fishing. And so we got 4 more years of you-know-who. And with the 4 more years, we now have same-sex marriage. We now have transgender bathrooms. We have the military being defanged and a host of other issues that we've got coming. Oh, and the fact that those of us who profess Christ can't sit from the church pulpit or they'll subpoena your sermons. So if we want to bring about the change, all Christians, regardless of ethnicity, need to be rallied and need to register and need to vote and make their presence known. I need to move on. Thank you so much for calling in. Is it Fred from Texas?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing just fine. Thanks for calling in. You have a question or a comment?
Well, I have a comment. I am from Mexico City originally, and I was born and raised over there. Came to the United States 15 years ago, became a citizen. And I can tell you, I'm voting Republican 100%. I'm backing up Trump. I believe that he can make America great again. What is going on with the Black Lives Matter, you know, I compare it to what happened in Latin America and different countries. And what we're creating right now, it's a guerrilla that's going to eventually become an armed rebel. They're already armed rebels. They're starting to kill people that are enforcing the law, and that is not correct. Regarding about George Soros and Hillary Clinton, you know, sometimes I see what's happening in Latin America. For instance, in Colombia, they were going to allow the guerrillas that's been having, they've been having a war for almost 30 years, and they were going to sign a peace treaty allowing the people, those people that have been hurt in that country for many years, to walk around being rich because all the money that they have stole from different people, from poor families, killing people. What are we creating here? You know, we're just making another third world country. We don't see it. We still believe that we are in a first world country, but this is becoming a third world country with all these issues.
I think you raise a valid point.
Presenting to America now.
Yes, yes. The divisiveness that's taking place with utilizing Black Lives Matter is to drive a wedge to create the environment so that, and just, you know, throw it out here, to create divisiveness so that we end up with martial law or worse. I agree with you 100%. You've got a great perspective looking from, let's say, outside of America and seeing what took place in those places. Let me just mention Dallas, Texas, where that individual shot those police officers based upon a false narrative. The police department, police chief was black. If you go to Baltimore, the Freddie Gray incident, the police department, 40% black, the chief of the police department, black, the mayor, black, city attorney, black. So folks who haven't done their homework, who get passionately stirred up and misinformed, go out and do things to help someone else accomplish their agenda, as the gentleman mentioned, one in George Soros. I need to let you go, need to move on. I've got Christine from North Carolina. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing? I am a Marine wife out here in North Carolina.
Hoo-ha!
That's right. I'm Cuban, and I get asked at multiple times during the month, what nationality are you? Mm-hmm. And I forget that I don't look like everyone else and whoever I happen to be around until someone says that. And I don't know how many times I get my car searched on the base because I do look Middle Eastern. So, that being said, and I'm a forensic scientist, so there is a lot of profiling used based upon data and statistics from the past.
Yes.
Whenever we're working on our cases. But the core at all of this Black Lives Matter or white privilege, or because I've studied all of that, mm-hmm. is we have a sin nature and we don't see anything but color when we look at people. And if we could look into the hearts of people like God does, this wouldn't be an issue. But until he comes back, this is going to be an issue, and it's going to ebb and flow until that time.
Amen. And the church needs to stand up. If we become the salt and light we're supposed to be, the weeds get put in check, you know, just like weeds in a garden. You can't get rid of all of them, but you can certainly keep them in check. Thanks for calling in. I've got Mark from Virginia. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Just fine, Mark. Thanks for calling in.
Well, I'm glad to hear you. This is the first time I've heard you on the radio. I've seen articles you've written and everything. But anyway, I wanted to counteract. There was a couple of callers ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's also from Virginia. And I'd like to counteract what the young man said. He said something about, and he failed to connect the dots between the monuments and racism.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I don't see racism. If there's racism, if you see racism, then that's in your eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see racism. I see problem with people, individuals. Now, he failed to connect the dots on that, but I can just say,
I hear what you're saying, Mark. Yeah, let me jump in, Mark. We're cutting to a break there. That's that bumper music. Maybe you can hold through the break and let you finish up your thought. This is Lonnie Poindexter sitting in for Sandy Rios in the morning.
Are you concerned about the future? The AFA Foundation can help. End-of-year giving allows you to offset your current taxable income, providing you with valuable tax savings on this year's return. And your generous gift will help further the mission of AFA to inform, equip, and motivate people in the culture war for years to come. Through the AFA Foundation, you're supporting the work of the American Family Association by helping individuals and families leave a legacy to help stem the tide of secularism and rebuild our Christian foundations. As the end of the year approaches, carefully considering what to give and when to give it can increase the impact of your gift while still meeting your own needs as well. For example, with a cash donation, your itemized tax return may allow you to receive up to the full value of your charitable gift. Contact the AFA Foundation through Facebook at our website, afafoundation.net, or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hello, I'm John Nyhoff, the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Wesley Biblical Seminary provides a solid foundation based upon the inerrancy of the Bible and the call to holy living. Online or at our Jackson, Mississippi or Greenwood, Indiana campuses, our academically rigorous learning community will add incredible value to your Christian experience. Wesley Biblical Seminary, where faith and learning ignite with passion for Christ. WBS.edu.
Do you know why you believe what you believe? Can you even explain your convictions to others? Lou Ann Crane here, inviting you to listen every day to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, where we'll help you make your faith your own.
You ought to be asking the question, is this true or is this just what I was taught?
Faith and Family, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk on this Christian radio station.
At 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on AFR Talk.
American Family Radio is for America.
AFR Talk is a 24/7 feeding place of truth. I believe that the Lord has raised up AFR to bring truth in a very important time.
My name is Michael, and I live in Americus, Georgia, and I've been listening to AFR Talk for about 4 or 5 years now. I started listening when the economy went down in 2008, and I just wanted to know more about what was going on in the news and politics. I've been a monthly supporter for several years now, and ever since I made that decision, I have not regretted it in the slightest. It makes you appreciate the programming more, and it gives you a sense of pride to know that part of my money is going to help keep that news on the air and those programs on the air, and I plan on being a supporter for years to come.
Join us for our three-day share-a-thon beginning October 18th. Listener-supported American Family Radio. 25 years on the battlefront for your family.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Last week, CIA Director John Brennan described Saudi Arabia as, quote, among our best counterterrorism partners, unquote. To be sure, such fatuousness emanated from someone so close to the Saudis during his time as the agency's top official in their country that he reportedly converted to Islam. Brennan was moved to defend the Saudi government because Congress had just achieved its first Obama veto override, clearing the way for 9/11 families to sue the kingdom over its role in the most deadly jihadist attack in U.S. history. Legislators may revise this law after the election, but Saudi involvement in 9/11 and the kingdom's attempts to destroy the U.S. fracking industry won't go away. So America should finally get the debate it has long needed concerning the double game Saudi Arabia has played against us for decades, even as its jihadist agenda progresses. Let's roll. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the morning. I'm your guest host today, Lonnie Poindexter, sitting in for Sandy Rios. I consider it an honor and a pleasure as well. Thank you so much, Sandy. I have Mark. Mark, are you still there in the queue, brother?
Yes, I am.
All righty. Go ahead and finish your thoughts, sir.
I just wanted to wrap up with this. Since he failed to connect, and this is, a lot of people seem to do this, they want to point to the history, let's say even in Virginia, and say that that's what's going on now. I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why those monuments are up there is because that is our history.
That's our history, yes.
Why do we call it history? Because it's history. You can't change history.
I agree with you, brother. That's on point. Well, let me comment, and before I let you go, is that's exactly, I think, the right perspective and viewpoint. Our history is what it is, ladies and gentlemen. You can't remove something because you don't like what took place. You know, America is the greatest nation in the world, yet we're not a perfect nation. We do have some warts, you know, and one of the warts is slavery. You know, it's there. It's real. It was part of our past. Let it be there as reminders, but you don't need to remove everything. You think you're going to make it right. It doesn't change anything. In fact, what's going on today across America as it relates to the Black Lives Matter movement and the appalling statistics that are taking place in the African-American community has nothing to do with some statues sitting up in the town square or at the state capitol. Thanks for calling in, Mark. Need to move on. I've got Tion from Florida. Welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Poindexter. I will say that as a black person, I am not a supporter of Black Lives Matter. Any organization that advocates for violence against law enforcement and the gunning down of police officers, I mean, mind you, that the police departments or some of the police departments in our nation, I mean, really do need some type of reform. I mean, while that may be true, there is just absolutely positively, without doubt, no reason for any organization to strike out to hunt down these police officers and to just mow them down. And secondly, it's not a reflection of who many of us are as black people in this country. They are a poor representation as to who we are. We are not all angry. We all do not resent police officers. And most definitely their attitude against this high disdain for white people. Again, I do not advocate for that as a black person. This does nothing to make race relations in our nation any better as what they're doing. Defacing properties, as you mentioned this morning, with the building, Donald Trump's new hotel, which is supposed to be a historical landmark. That does nothing for us. As a matter of fact, it just makes us as a minority group to look worse.
I agree, brother. Amen and amen. It's the passionately misinformed being driven to do things not based upon any fact. And it makes all Americans look bad, not just black Americans. Let me move on. I've got Leon from Virginia.
Hello, Lonnie.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Hey, it's so good to hear you on the show today. God bless you for all you do. You know, my point is this, is it's not really about the Black Lives Matter as much as it is about the strategies and tactics of those who want to stifle the truth.
Yes.
What's really going on in our nation is really, our nation is so divided. This principle was even used in the Bible back in the book of Acts when the truth was getting out about the gospel of what Christ did through his death and resurrection. There was a group of religious people who would stir up a mob just to quiet the message of hope. Did it several times with Apostle Paul. And so this is actually a strategy and a tactic. It's just not about talking about lies, but a strategy and a tactic to stifle the truth. And as a bishop, as a pastor, I see this happen sometimes. If I don't have a ground or leg to stand on, I'd stir up some ignorant people and stir up a mob of people. And ignorant doesn't mean stupid. It just means people who ignore knowledge. I would stir up some people, get them to be loud and cantankerous so that the real message could not come through.
Mm. That will straight preach there, Bishop. Amen. That's exactly what's going on. It's misdirection. The analogy that I can draw is the Wizard of Oz, where they says the all-powerful Oz, if you remember, Toto pulled back that curtain so you could see the man working the levers, what's really going on. Well, they're misdirecting us, so we're looking at the all-powerful Oz when the reality is something else is taking place. Thank you so much, sir. That's Bishop Leon from Virginia. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Just calling in. First of all, thank you, Bishop. You were right on with that one. Understanding that we have to peel back the layers. If you understand race, there is only one race, and that's the human race.
Amen.
Okay. And so when we take color out of that, because if you understand DNA and RNA and understand that blue and red and the colors that make up brown, and we're all really brown. It just depends on what color brown we are. Unless you're an albino, you are one color, and some of us are a little bit darker than others. And this division comes from the devil. The devil is the only one who creates this chaos. And understanding in this chaos, he doesn't want people to be educated. And when you think you hear something, it's sharing with people and telling them, look up who wrote that, what the characteristics are of that person, and go further into it. I share every day with people about something, and they'll say, how do I know that's true? And I say, first of all, you look to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not of God, you don't want to be involved in it. And in this voting situation, with no effort, you get no results. Faith and works go together. You have to get out there, and you think about the men who actually fought in this country for our freedoms to do what we're doing. And older people like myself understand those freedoms. The younger children today don't understand those freedoms because they're handed everything. They don't know what it is to have to really get out there and have that choice and have the ability. Yeah.
And Catherine, they're educated in public schools. That goes without saying. Our public schools are not what, let's say, for my generation, being a 70s child, need to move on. Thank you so much for calling in. I've got Peter from South Carolina. Peter, are you there? Oh, we might have lost Peter. Let's move on. Fanny from Texas, thank you for calling in.
Hi. I want to say you're doing a great job. I do miss Sandy. I hope she's having a great time. yeah, I was just going to say two things, 2 points. A no vote is a vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I have to tell that to any of your callers because I'm pretty sure everybody's informed that we need to vote. And then the other point I was going to make, or the other thing I was going to say, just the other day I watched a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
On the GLC, the God Learning Channel, and it was so informational. I think everybody should watch it. It's kind of important as far as, like, it talks about Margaret Sanger and her attempt to genocide on different races. And so it's very, very informational, and it's called Maafa 21,
yeah.
M-A-A-F-A 21. Very good. I think everybody should see it, and it is eye-opening. Very eye-opening, and we do have a problem in this country, I believe. I'm not sure. I know there is racism, but I think there's also a lot of prejudice, and they are different, not saying that any one of them is more right than the other one, but they are different, and I think people need to open their eyes to what the Lord says. He says, you know, we should try to see good in everyone, you know, try to look for that before you look for the evil in people. So.
I agree. Anyway. In fact, Maafa 21 is an excellent documentary, and everyone just Google it. That's M-A-A-F-A, and it will come up, and it will, if you're not aware of the evil agenda of abortion, you know, we got over 60 million Americans of all ethnicity that are not here because they never left their mother's wombs alive. And then as it relates to the black community, which is disproportionately represented with, some of the neighborhood, 20 million plus abortions, even though we're only, black folks are only 12.5 to 13% of the population. If there's an argument for racism, it would be right there. But those fingers point right back to what political party sanctions and fully funds abortion to the tune of over $500 million a year. Thank you so much for calling in. Fanny, got to move on. I've got Bill from Michigan. Welcome to the show.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, sir. You're doing a great job. Yeah. I like how you go on one caller to the next. Yeah. I just want to point out mob mentality that one of the callers talked about. That's
yes.
What Black Lives Matter is using. It's biblical. It goes back to even mob mentality that crucified Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You got to wake up. People got to wake up. Christians especially. Remember the word that he used. He says that everyone is wonderfully and specially made. That's my comment, sir. Thank you.
Oh, man, on point. Straight to the point. At the end of the day, that's what it's really about. Thank you so much for calling in, Bill. I have Tammy from Arkansas. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Mr. Poindexter. How are you?
I'm just fine, Tammy. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. This is my first time to ever call into any radio show. But
ooh, I'm honored.
And I'm honored to be here. I'm going to call myself a middle-aged white woman, and I would have voted for Ben Carson for president in the heartbeat. And I am just curious why so many people, but particularly the black community, did not rally around him to move him further along as president of the United States.
Mm-hmm. That is, well, another stinky elephant in the room with polka dots and a parasol on. It was because of party affiliation. If he had run on the Democrat ticket, they'd have showed up in droves, because he was and is an iconic figure in the black community. Now, I know this because I just happen to be one of those Americans that have the darker paint job as well. But he was an iconic figure, and there's been movies done about him and everything else. But when he stepped across party lines and decided to run on the GOP ticket, which, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know your history and listening in today, is the party of black Americans. That's, in my humble opinion, black folk need to come home. But that's a topic for another show. So that's why they didn't stand with him. It was really interesting. Now, here's what's taking place now. Of the all the people that are seeming to get the black community's attention, of all the candidates, one crass New Yorker and one named Donald Trump is moving the needle on black Americans looking to cross the aisle come November. And I didn't see it coming. And no one else I know saw it. Well, a couple of people smarter than me. And I had to go call them and repent, because I didn't see it coming, where, depending on what polls you're looking at, their estimates between 15 and 20% of the black vote might cross the aisle this election. That remains to be seen. Thank you so much, Tammy, for calling into the show. Call in often. Pat from Texas, welcome to the show.
Thank you and good morning. I just wanted to mention regarding the Black Lives Matter website, under their tab called Guiding Principles, they have several tabs that speak to what they believe in. And under one tab called Black Villages, they say, "We are committed to disrupting the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirements by supporting each other as extended families, quote-unquote villages, etc." And under their Black Families tab, they say that they are committed to dismantling the patriarchal practice that requires mothers to work, quote-unquote, double shifts, that require them to mother in private even as they participate in justice work. And I'm kind of wondering what they mean by justice. But anyway, it's a site that is very globalist and very left, queer-affirming, transgender-affirming. They talk about restorative justice and diversity and globalism. They're uplifting black women completely out of context. It's the way I see the Black Lives Matter group, from what we have seen over the last couple of years, I see them as a group of Marxist thugs. And the group started by three lesbian women.
Yes, yes, yes. Let me jump in, Pat, because we've got the cue for closing out the show. That was on point, but we could have had a whole hour just on that. And yeah, it's they're driving a different agenda. It's anti-God versus God. Thank you so much for listening to me today. And thank you so much, Sandy, for letting me sit in on your show. I've had a great time. Listeners, continue to listen in for Sandy Rios in the morning. She should be back with you momentarily. God bless you. Talk to you soon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.